Good morning. How many of you are thankful to be here this morning? I'm going to hear an amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Turn with me in your hymn books to hymn 33. And we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Hymn 33.
Pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness in summer and winter and fall and just at all times. Thank you for the blessing that is ours by knowing you and your Son Jesus as our Savior. Thank you for making a way for us to spend eternity with you. Thank you for the blessings that we have here at this church. We want to, with your help, stay faithful and be a testimony in this area. And we thank you for the teaching, all that is ours. And we just want to say thank you for that. Pray for the Greens as they're on vacation and give them safety. We'll just again want to honor you in our service today. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. For announcements, like I said, the Greens are on vacation in, Washington, D.C. And, or, no. Where? Oh. No, it didn't. Oh, okay. Okay, they're somewhere, but not here. So, okay, well, we can still pray for them. So, okay. Yeah. Okay, for the announcements, this Wednesday, May 1st, is Braca Spring Celebration. And I said, please bring a salad to share. Wednesday, May 8th, would be the Fairfield Baccalaureate. Let's see, and May 11th would be the graduation, 4 o'clock. Sammy graduates on May 3rd, which is be this Friday, at the Inspire Church, which I know it as the Big Nazarene Church on North Monroe. Okay, and there's graduation and reception is from 6 to 9, and we're all invited. So that'll be great. Okay, then, of course, Vacation Bible School, we need cookie sign-ups. And then Jim Carter needs, for Vacation Bible School, needs baseball caps. So that'll be interesting, what they're going to do with the baseball caps. So,
throw them in the air.
Okay. So, okay. So at this time, we'll have Missionary Melba.
Changing things up a little bit. Okay, so I'm doing the missionary mailbox today, and Luana is usually doing that, and I'm nervous. I don't know how she does this every week, but so I had to write it down, but I have a message for you guys. This church body supports many people who've made it their profession to go and tell the world about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great testament of the Holy Spirit's presence among all of us. It's amazing what's happening here, and you guys are a part of that. I'm here today as a representative of the Mission Board to tell you that we support you, too. It may not be your profession, but if you're a born-again, raised-from-the-dead believer in and disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have been called to be his witness as well. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I'm not rewriting scripture with this next part, but we can say as well, you will be witnesses in Plevna and all of Kansas and in America and beyond the borders of these United States. There's nowhere that he doesn't want us to go and tell others about him, and he has given us his spirit to go and do so. Your mission board wants to help you to do that. So we have a few things going on. First of all, on the library table back there, and I had Steve announce it downstairs, we have, for Kansas Bible Camp, we have some schedules. So some of you guys don't know about Kansas Bible Camp. There's schedules back there. It's free to all campers. It's got girls' camps, boys' camps, family camps all summer long. It's pretty cool. It's a great place to get to know Jesus better and to become equipped to witness to the world. We have resident experts with us this week, Romello and Brendan. They both went there as campers and eventually became part of staff and counselors there. And so you can talk to them. If you have real questions about Kansas Bible Camp, boom, there they are. Talk to them after church, okay? there's also a website listed at the back of the schedule that you can look at to find more about it. Also, we have a really cool thing going on. Jonas and Lisa Sands are part of the crew ministry. And from them, we are ordering packets that have the Jesus film in them and other materials that you can use to evangelize with. And we're getting enough packets to give out to people in Plevna. Okay, so picture this. Packets with the Jesus film, information about our church, and going around. And it's going to be kind of like Christmas caroling in the summer. There's probably going to be cookies. I don't know if we'll sing. Don't know if that's going to happen, but we're going to be taking those packets around, okay? And if you're out in the countryside, if you've got neighbors out in the countryside that you want to take these packets to, let us know that so that we can get those packets coming for you to take. It doesn't have to be just here in Plevna in the city limits, okay? Also, VBS is coming up, as Larry just mentioned. That's coming up, a great place for kids to learn about Jesus and for you to serve as a missionary to local kids, okay? Also, God has put it on my heart to begin a weekly prayer walk. At 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings, I'm going to start tonight, Hopefully it's raining on me. I don't know. Prayerfully. Every Sunday night, at 6 o'clock, I'm going to be walking around Plevna, praying with the people of Plevna. I would love it if anyone wanted to join me to do that. And then I'll start here at the church, hopefully end up here in time then for Bible study. But I would love for you guys to join me to do that. Prayer is where we have to start. Prayer is how we prepare the ground for God to work in the hearts of other people. So that's something else we have going on. Froggy voice. Okay, if you live out in the country, you may not be able to walk to all your neighbors' houses, but I encourage you to make a regular time to pray for your neighbors. Now, who are our neighbors? Neighbors sit across the table from us. They live past that row of trees, behind that fence, across the road, and across the section from us. They may be delightful people, or they may be hard to get along with. They may be people we don't think we want anything to do with. Either way, Jesus has commissioned us to be witnesses to them. Our mission field begins just out the front and side doors of our church building, and you are going to step onto the mission field as soon as you leave here today. If God has put a burden on your heart to reach out to your neighbors here in Plevna or to go on a missions trip somewhere beyond our city limits, please come to talk to any of us on the board. That'd be Lawana, myself, Colleen, she's not here today, Lisa, and Sharon. Come talk to us, okay? Because of the faithful giving of this church, we have funds to help you go where God is leading you. We also have some knowledge, a little bit of understanding of missions work that can help you put that vision into action. So we'd love to hear from you. I'm going to end with an analogy I heard this week from a preacher on a video. I can't breathe, my asthma's kicking in, but I'm going to go through this anyway. Okay, he likened each of us who have been saved by God's grace to the potential rescuers in the lifeboats of the Titanic. As the ship was sinking, many of the lifeboats went out half full at best. The boats had a capacity of holding 70 people, but very few made it into them. My husband added to that, one reason for that was because most of the people on the Titanic, excuse me, do you ever have water up here to help you? Because many of the people on the Titanic believed that their ship would never sink. They believed that lie. It made me think of the lie many believe that their ship, their choices in how to live this life without Jesus, is going to keep them afloat. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to get into that lifeboat. Then their ship hits a hard spot. It begins to leak a bit. It starts to take on more water. It's not moving through the water as well as they had hoped, and it's starting to take a dive. The people in the lifeboat try to encourage them to get in the boat with them, but no, I'll be all right. Not going to get in there with you crazy people. Sound familiar? So the rescuers in the boat row away in fear of being sucked down with that sinking ship. However, back to the Titanic, as the ship went down under the water, there were many people still out in the freezing water, alive for the moment, but about to die of hypothermia. They cried out for help, but the lifeboats sat still and didn't row back to get them, which is sad. Why? I don't know. It was dark. It was cold. They were afraid. They turned a deaf ear to the cries. They told themselves, I tried to tell them. They just wouldn't listen. They made their own choice. God be with them. I'm talking to myself here because I've said these same things to people that God's put on my heart to try to reach. I've made the excuses. There could have been many more lives saved that night had the boats simply rowed back to those calling out for help. We have many people around us calling out for help in various ways. We want to help you. The mission board wants to help you answer that call God is putting on your heart to rescue them, to not simply sit in a lifeboat talking with other rescuers, but to go back and pull people out of the water, to tell the world, big or small, that you know a man named Jesus who can rescue them from their sinking ship. Thank you, and please come talk to us.
We're really going to confuse everybody. I'm not on the mission board, but I have something to add to the missionary mailbox. Are you confused yet? I got a text this morning from probably Eldora Gosen, about Waldo. We'd prayed for him back in February, I think, and just to set the context, he and his wife were in Africa as missionaries, Nairobi. They served for all these years and so on, and then he got lymphoma, and they had to come back to the States for treatment, and they never went back. And so they've been here ever since. And then back in February, we were asked to pray for him because they discovered a mass in one kidney. And so they did the surgery. And I know we shared that here too, the results of the surgery, and it went well. So there was a tumor in a kidney. They sent it, and they were pretty sure that they got it all. It was a good report. But they sent it off, of course, to pathology, and they've started to get the results back. The results from pathology, in a way, were good. They showed that the tumor is not lymphoma again. That was a concern, was that the lymphoma was coming back. That's not the issue, but it is cancer, and the type of cancer it is the same as lung cancer. It was in his kidney, but it's the same type of cancer. And so obviously they're asking for our prayers again. And he has an appointment this week, I think on Tuesday, with the lymphoma doctor. And they're obviously hoping, knowing that it's not lymphoma, they're assuming or kind of hoping that they'll be referred to a lung cancer specialist and go from there. So they are soliciting our prayers once again over that issue. So I just wanted to give you that update before we go to pray. I'd be delighted. We are confused. All right. Let's do pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this day and the opportunity that we can come together here and encourage each other and uphold each other, and not just the ones who are right here, but people we know all around the world, whether missionaries or whatever. And so we're grateful that you've called us into your church, one body. We have this unity where we can share these things and then bring them to you. Lord, we're grateful for opportunities that we have right here at Kansas Bible Camp and the many ministries that they offer. We pray for that camp, those who work there, who give their time and energies. We pray for the campers that come throughout this summer, that their hearts would be open to you. And we pray for those who are here today that might be interested in an activity like that, opportunity to grow in their relationship with you. And so we pray that you'd lay that on the hearts of parents who are here, children who might want to be able to participate in the resources that we have right here, Kansas Bible Camp. Lord, we also want to lift up to you the Gosin family right now. I know there's got to be apprehension about what the future holds, especially because of what's already happened for Waldo, going through lymphoma, the treatments, all that kind of thing, and now cancer's back. And so we do pray that you'd give them peace, Waldo, his whole family, Lynette, and so on, that you'd give them peace through all of this, and trusting in you with the outcome. We pray that you'd guide them as they have doctor appointments and give the doctors wisdom to correctly deal with this and what might lie in the future in regard to how they'll treat another form of cancer. And we just pray that they'd be encouraged in you, knowing that they do trust you and they draw their hope from you. And we have so much to be thankful for in you. And so we're grateful for that. And Lord, today too, we just want to pray for the Greens. We're so grateful that they can take time away to get away. We're grateful for the resources that we have here and that they have that allow them to do that, to get away. And we just pray that for the whole family, that while they're away, that they'd be renewed and refreshed, that they wouldn't be distracted. Oftentimes when we travel, things happen. Pestilence can arrive. And we just pray that you'd give them good health so that they can really enjoy their time away, and that when they come back, then they would come back refreshed and renewed and ready to serve again here. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings you give us. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture reading today is Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, I'm going to read all of verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Ushers, please come forward. All right, let's pray for this morning's offering. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to give back what you've already given us. And I thank you so much for this church, for the blessing that we can be not only on the other side of the world, but in our own community. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be missions and missionaries in our own towns. And pray for the givers as we give back. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please turn with me in your hymn books to hymn 460. Another one of my favorite hymns, hymn 460. What a friend we have in Jesus.
God in prayer.
All right, our next hymn will be hymn 446, O Jesus, I Have Promised, hymn 446, and please stand as we sing together, O Jesus, I Have Promised. You may be seated.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah. Okay, I get to introduce our speaker. Okay, we've had Sunday school, Bible study, and we've had our worship time, singing, getting prepared mentally, spiritually, you know, for our study. So this isn't going to help any. Kids, introduction. Are you nervous? Okay. Kent used to, in high school, Kent used to run into me as hard as he could on purpose. So, when I was a senior, Kent was one of the young, he was lower, he was sophomore. Okay. And we had a whole bunch of seniors, or my senior year, and were pretty good. And so the varsity practiced against the younger ones. And so Kent, being younger, he was on that team, so he practiced against the varsity. But what I remember is handing the ball off to me and go running around the end, and there would be Kent. And he hit, when he went to tackle or hit you, he was solid. And he hit hard and it hurt. So that's the main thing I remember about Kent. No. So okay. You can say whatever you want.
Kids for Junior Church, you're dismissed. Larry just said that I could say anything I wanted, so I'm going to take advantage of that. I enjoyed football very much, and I enjoyed every time that the ball was given to Larry and he ran around the end and I got to hit him. Just did. Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to begin reading in verse 19, and as I do so, I'd like for you to notice the times that we read about the word fear in this passage. And we're going to study today about how faith foils fear and all that God had to teach them and what he has to teach us through this passage. Now, if you are physically able, would you please stand again for the reading of the Word of God and follow along in your own Bibles or listen to me as I read. Again, it's Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in verse 19. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. This is Moses speaking, by the way. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you've come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us by the way by which we should go up and other cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well. So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up to the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, it is a good land, which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes up before you, he will fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, today as we study about this subject of fear, we realize and acknowledge and confess to you that it's something that we all struggle with and battle. And so I pray that we could take from your word that which we need today so that we could be those who are victorious and live by faith. Work your will, I pray, in the heart of every person in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. After the door to her small apartment closed in 1949, Marjorie Goff went out three times in 30 years. She went out once to give some ice cream to a friend who was failing in health. She went out a second time for an operation. The third time, she left her apartment for a funeral of one of her family members. But aside from that, she entered her home on her 31st birthday and did not come out again until she was 61 years old. She imprisoned herself for 30 years. She suffered from what is called agoraphobia, a fear of open spaces. So she locked herself into her home. That is what fear can do. It can imprison us to where we do not live as we should. Now, there are certain things that all of us are afraid of. We all battle fear in some form. And the word phobia describes people who have an overwhelming or extreme fear of something. For instance, well, let me give you some examples. Aviophobia, the fear of flying. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Some of you are saying it. You must have that. Arachnophobia. And this is mine. Musophobia, fear of mice and rodents. I hate them. I fear them. When I was a kid, one of the chores I had was to get a couple of those steel buckets and go into the barn and go down to the granary and fill them up and take them out and feed the calves. Oh, I can remember to this day. I'd go to the door of the barn, I'd swing it open, and I would hear all this scurrying inside. Mice and rats. Rodents of unusual size. So much so, I was so feared with fear, I hated to do those chores. And I remember going to Dad one time, and I told him what was going on. I said, I'm scared of the rats and mice. And he didn't chide me, he didn't correct me, he just said, when you go in, take those buckets and just bang them together. And they'll flee from you. And you know what? I tried it. I started banging those buckets. Oh, I hit those buckets. And I hit them and made the sound, and I'd hear them all go, but I didn't see anymore. There were no more eyeballs looking at me as I did that chore. Well, one of the most common fears, and some say that today it is the greatest fear of most of the people in the world. It's called nomophobia. It's the fear of losing your phone. I mean, think of the word. No mobile phone. Nomophobia. Now, all those fears can change us in some way. In fact, they do. Think of how fear affects your spiritual life. It can overwhelm us, immobilize us, steal our joy, destroy our hope. It might rob us of sleep at night. And often these fears keep us from obeying the Word of God. At times they keep us from loving the Lord and loving other people. What are some of these spiritual fears? One's a fear of witnessing. I am so thankful I heard what I did this morning from Tish. I am so thankful you're going to go to every home in Derby. Wait till the people back in Derby hear that. Yes. I mean, Plevna. I'm very thankful for that. Because we need to do it. We do. But just hearing that brings, a struggle that I've had at times with witnessing and thinking about, oh, would I want to go to that person or that household? We can have a fear of witnessing. We can have a fear of tithing. Oh, if I give 10% of my money to God, what am I going to do? We have a fear of forgiving people, thinking that then they will take advantage of us or hurt us in some way. At times we have a fear of loving people because love is risky. Love is not always returned. What do we do if we are struggling with some of these spiritual fears? Well, what we do is that we turn to God, follow His word, and understand that God has the answer. In fact, God is the answer. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." The word sound means disciplined mind. Think of Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." That's the subject of this passage before us. And so today I want to study about how fear can be foiled by faith as we look at Deuteronomy 1:19 through 32. Now, let me set the context. Moses and the nation of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian slavery by the power of Almighty God. God brought the plagues on Egypt. Pharaoh let them go. And then God delivered them by dividing the Red Sea. And then in the wilderness, He provided water. He provided manna. And then they were told to go into the promised land. So they came up with this plan, and Moses accepted it. Send out spies. He took one from every tribe. And they go into the promised land, and they come back, and what did they say? They said, "It's a good land that God has given us. But we can't go in there. The giants live there. The sons of the Anakim are there. And they lived in walled cities. Those walls go clear up to heaven." Did you notice that in the passage? I'll talk more about that in a minute. Two of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Let's go. God has given it to us. God has promised this land. It is ours. We got to take it. We can. Let's go." But fear dominated the people. So instead of obeying God, they did not. Now, there are two main points about fear that I'd like to study with you today. The first is this: understanding the problems of fear. The problems of fear create. The first is this: fear disregards God's purposes. Fear disregards God's purposes. Now, God's mandate was clear. Here's the land. Here's my gift to you. Go and take it. And with their greatest hopes and dreams laid out before them, they should have gone forward with great joy. They should have claimed all the abundance and promise and inheritance that God said was theirs. Yet having come so far, having made it through the wilderness with its hunger and thirst, they would not, and notice the word "would not," cross the finish line. They had prevailed over Pharaoh's army, the high tide of the Red Sea, the challenge of the journey, and it had all happened through the power of Almighty God. They had witnessed this. They had seen it. They followed the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day as God led them. And God said, "Fear not, the land is yours." But they would not go because of fear. And when we fear what God has said that we should do, we disregard His purposes. We are those who put away His plan. We don't experience what He has for us, and because of fear. I remember confronting fear in a real way when my wife Virginia and I were able to take a gospel team from our church to help minister to a missionary of ours by the name of Matthew Recker, who was ministering in New York City. This was way back in 1988. And driving into New York City, as a ranch and a farm boy from Kansas, I was confronted with fear in some dramatic ways. We drove into Brooklyn on a Saturday afternoon, and there were people everywhere. There was no place to park. People were doing three-point turnarounds in the middle of the street. The size of the crowd, the closed-in spaces, nowhere to park, caused fear. And then I happened to glance up at some of the buildings, and they were all right next to each other. His church was on Flatbush Avenue. If you've ever heard anything about Flashbook, that's a Flatbush Avenue. That's a difficult place. And I looked up there and I saw something that I was very familiar with because I grew up here in Kansas. Here, barbed wire was put up to keep cattle in. There I saw barbed wire around the top of the buildings to keep thieves from getting on the roof and breaking through and stealing. And you say, "Oh, that didn't happen. It happened to Matthew Recker on one Christmas. A thief got up there, broke into their house, and stole all their Christmas presents." And I was thinking, what kind of a place am I in? I finally found a place to park about four blocks away from Matthew's house. I turned to Virginia and the rest of our ministry team, and I said, "Okay, let's get out." And it seemed to me in unison, I think it was, they all said, "We're not getting out." I thought, okay. So I got out and I went and I found Matthew. I knocked on the door and he came there and he said, "Where is everybody?" And I said, "They're scared. They're back in the van." And finally they all arrived and we unloaded and we got our suitcases in. And then Matthew looked at all of us with a big smile on his face and he said, "Let's go street witnessing." Oh. And immediately that element of fear hit me again that I was just describing a while ago. I mean, witnessing to people who looked, brethren, they looked dangerous. They were people we didn't know. I thought they might be a threat to us. But I'm here to tell you, and it's obvious, if we would have stayed in that van all week long, we would have disregarded God's plan and purpose for us in going. Our purpose and plan was to help Matthew, to carry on a VBS for a week, to minister with him. And when we fear, whatever it is, in some respect, we are those who disregard God's purposes. The second thing about fear is this: it distorts God's perspective and the perspective we need to have about life and what's going on and what God is leading us into. Verses 27 and 28. Verse 27 is interesting. It says that they murmured, that means complained. They complained in their tents and they said, "Because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." What a perspective. I mean, the 10 spies come back, and their conclusion is, God hates us. That's why he's brought us here. He wants to destroy us. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing. God had proved that he was one who time and again would save them. He did that. He didn't bring them out there to destroy them. He preserved their lives time and again in the wilderness, in the Red Sea, from Pharaoh's army. He would do it again now. He even said he would. In other words, he was saying the giants are not going to be a problem if you just obey me. But fear immobilized him, even to the point where we're making these incredible exaggerations, even to where they say the walled cities that the giants live in go up to heaven. Well, that's what we do sometimes with fear. That's what we do sometimes when we just sin. For instance, have you ever met somebody at church? I know it doesn't happen out here. Okay. And you look at them and you say good morning and they don't shake your hand. They just go on and they frown. And you think, oh, they must be mad at me. We don't know that. Maybe they've had a tough day. Maybe they're feeling bad. Maybe they're sick. We can judge people. We come to all kinds of conclusions that are not true according to Scripture. And we can exaggerate and come up with things that are just absolutely unbelievable. Here they said God hated them. God wanted to destroy them. Fear will do that. Distorts God's perspective. The third thing about fear is it discourages God's people. Verse 28, it says, all the people were discouraged. What does the word discouraged mean? It means simply take away courage. Fear causes us to drain away the vitality of people that we care for. And it's a devastating principle. Fear is contagious. It's catching. And eventually it will breed hysteria. These 10 men come back filled with fear, and it infects and affects the entire nation where they say, we're not going to go. We're not going to do it. Have you ever seen a group of kids, children playing out on the playground or maybe at a park somewhere, and they're all together and they're playing this certain game, and suddenly one of them screams, spider or snake? What do most of them do? They scatter, they run, they go every direction. Amazing. One person yells spider or snake and the whole group, they run screaming for cover. But here's something else I've discovered. Usually there's one or maybe two. I bet their names are Joshua or Caleb. And one of them goes over there and says, spider, where? And somebody yells back, right over there. And he goes over, oh, sure enough. Or where's the snake? Now, I've never done this with a snake, but there's a kid somewhere. I'm sure in this church. They just go up and they grab it behind the head and they take it out and dispose of it. I won't tell you how, but they do that. Fear is contagious, and it can spread through a family, through a church, through a nation, and that is what happened here. Fourth truth about fear: it distrusts God's provision. It will not trust the provision of God. The underlying root cause of fear is unbelief. Unbelief, not believing God. God had said it's a good land. The spies agreed. It's a good land. But there are giants that live there, so we're not going to go in. They did not believe God. Look again at what it says in verse 29. After they give all the reasons they're afraid, when they talk about the giants, God said simply, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. And you have Joshua and Caleb saying, we can go in because God has said that it's ours. We need to take it. See, here's the perfect balance in living the Christian life. Here's what God says, but are we going to do it? God said, it is yours. Take it. All you got to do is go. Joshua and Caleb were willing, the others were not. And we struggle with that in our own lives when we come up in a situation that causes fear. Will we trust God to provide in this situation? Often when we go through a new crisis, or maybe it's just the same one, over and over and over again. The same crisis. And what I mean is this. I've thought this a number of times, and maybe you have as well. Have you ever been dealing with a problem or crisis, and you're battling fear, and you come to this conclusion? This can't get worse. And you wake up the next morning, and it is. And then you think, this can't get worse. And you wake up the next morning, and it is. This week at 5:49 in the morning, I got a text from someone back in Wichita. And they said, could you please call me? I thought, wow. And I've been up for a while. So being awake was not a problem, but I said, sure, I'll give you a call. And so I called and we talked. And we were talking about this particular problem and we're trying to deal with it. And I was trying to point out some things and it was rough. And so they had to leave quickly in the conversation. And I thought, well, this can't get worse. And then it did the next day. And then I thought, it can't get worse. And it did the next day. And it did the next day. Are you keeping track of the days? Let's see, that was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It did the next day, and now here I am today. I don't know if it's worse today, but I might find out. What am I to do? What are you to do? When the crisis comes, you think it can't get worse, and it does. Brethren, what we've got to do is believe God's provision, no matter what we face. And our God will help us. The fifth thing is this. Fear disobeys God's proclamation. Verse 26, they simply wouldn't go. In fact, Moses said to them, you rebelled against God. Rebellion is quite a word. There's more than not just believing. Rebellion is where we understand what we're supposed to do, but we turn around and do the opposite. We go the other direction. And that's what has happened right here. So we need to understand what happens when we have fear. But understand this. Let's understand the principles of faith because faith foils fear. First of all, we need to trust in God's power. I quoted 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Let me quote it again and add the rest that I didn't have when I quoted it before, and that is this. 2 Timothy 1, 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. His grace, his power, his work to face the situation, do what God has said, and leave the results with him. Power. So we got to trust in God's power. Then we got to trust in God's promises. You see, one thing that fear does is that it keeps us from trusting and obeying God's principles, his proclamations, but especially his promises. And he's given us a number of them. Let me just share a few from Scripture. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, God says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, it is that does go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Proverbs 3, 25 through 26, be not afraid of sudden fear. What are we going to do if the economy collapses? I could go on and on. I don't want you to be thinking about those things. If you listen to the news, you're confronted with it every day. And some people come away from that, oh, what if this is going to happen? Well, it hasn't, but what if it does? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And then Isaiah 41, 10, what Jake read this morning. God is speaking. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we could go on and give many others. But brethren, we are to trust the provision and especially the promises of God. You know, some people, because of fear, try to keep themselves from any circumstance of fear or where they're ever going to be tested in their Christian walk or where they're going to have to obey the word of God. Some really try not to be in those places. I thought about that when I heard about a Canadian family that had feared another world war was coming, so they decided to move to another part of the planet where peace was guaranteed. And they studied and they researched for months, and finally, they found the place. One of the most remote places that they could think of or discover. And in March, keep in mind the date here, it's important. In March of 1992, they relocated. They moved from Canada to the Falkland Islands, which are off the coast of Argentina and really a part of Great Britain. 5 days after they arrived, Argentina declared war. And here they go to this place where they're guaranteed safety, they thought. And they find themselves in the middle of a war. Fears await we will face wherever we are. We have to confront it by trusting in God's power and trusting his promises. And then the third is this, trust his provision. Our God will provide. There's one verse that really means a lot to me in this whole subject of fear, and it is 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Very similar to 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a disciplined mind. And here God says that perfect love casts out all fear. Now, the 1 John passage, the context is judgment, God's judgment on those who do not know Christ as Savior, on others, Christians who are, you know, in disobedience, his discipline. And he says that there is no fear of the Christian who's walking with God because of the love of God has kept them and will keep us from condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Folks, if we're here today saved, believing in the fact that Jesus died for us and rose again, and if we've made him our personal Savior, think of it, the moment that we die physically, the moment, we're in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Declares that truth to us, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is before us, but let me tell you this. That means this. We will not spend one moment, not one second in hell. Not one, praise God. Not one. And why did all that happen? Because of love. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, God's talking about our life before we trusted Christ as Savior, and he talks about how we were in sin and the work of Satan in our life and all of this and how horrible it was and the penalty of sin and all that leading up to the gospel that he shares in verses 8 and 9. But in verse 4, he says, two of the greatest words in Scripture, but God who is rich in his mercy because of the love wherewith he has loved us. And then it goes on and describes the gospel. We have heard the gospel because of the love of Christ. If we're saved here today, it's because of the love of Christ. And we will never experience condemnation. And we will also be helped because perfect love casts out all fear. So brethren, when you're fearing, remind yourself of the fact that it says in Romans chapter 8 that we will never be separated from the fear of God. Nothing can separate us from, the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he gives all those things in that chapter. Nothing in life, nothing in death can separate us from the love of God. Be reminded God loves you. And you might say, oh, I'm having trouble believing that because of this problem I'm in. He's in charge of all that. He's allowed that. But in his grace and mercy and power and strength, he will help us in it and through it. And then we'll know the power and love of God like we've never known before. Parents and grandparents especially will understand this principle. Because we know that little children, often when they wake up in the dark of night, they're afraid. And what do you do as a parent or grandparent when that happens? Well, you don't, or I should say you should not, rush into the room and look at them, shaking in fear, and say, be courageous. No. When we operate the way we should, as understanding the way that God operates with us, we'll rush into the room, pick him up, hug him in our arms, and say, I love you. I love you. It's going to be all right. God tells us all the time in the Word, I love you, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Yes, there are times of struggle through that because our faith is tested. God's clear about that. It happens all the time. But we will never know of the victory and the grace and the power and work and love of Almighty God till we go through those times. And I think of these people, those who said no to God and wouldn't go in, they died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb, 40 years later, the men who said, we want to go in, were able to go in, and God used them in incredible, miraculous, mighty ways. God will do the same for us. Remember, perfect love casts out all fear. So God has the answer. He is the answer for fear. Fear disregards God's purposes, perspective, people, provision, and proclamation. But the principles of faith are these. We need to trust in God's power, God's promises, and God's provision. So brethren, our God is able, and he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us to be glorified in his church by Christ Jesus, world without end. And no wonder Paul said at the end of that verse, amen. Amen. That's what our God will do. So brethren, let's trust him. Trust him as you go house to house in your neighborhood or across a section. Trust him as you serve God in this place and with your family. And when fear wants to grab your heart, trust Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we pray, God, for your encouragement to any and all who are struggling, God, in this place today because of fear. I pray that through your power, we will experience that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Help us, God, to decide to follow you and experience the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, and we're going to turn to number 300. We're going to sing one of my favorite hymns. The first sermon I ever preached in my life when I was 18 years old here at this church. And I closed the service by singing this hymn, and I hope it's your prayer. It is still mine today. Let's all stand, please, and we will sing number 300. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Though some go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would not turn back, but that we would follow you every day of our life, and especially when we struggle with fear. Thank you that you are the answer. Bless and encourage these people. Their pastor and pastor's wife is there on vacation. And God, may we truly follow you every day, living in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.